Hello and welcome back to another installment of New Retirement Thinking. My name is Sameh Zaki. Now, today we're trying to explore how you can maximize your retirement annuity in 2018. And joining me in studio for that discussion is Martin de Kock. He is asset manager at Ascor Independent Wealth Managers. Martin, thank you so much for your time. So let's start off by looking at the sort of retirement products that you get. You've got an insurance type retirement annuity and an investment type retirement annuity. Can you just expand on those two concepts for us?
The investment type insurance or the insurance that's linked to a retirement annuity is issued by an insurance company. Your problem with that is you have high commission structures that are in place that are paid to the advisor or broker marketing the product. With the investment RA, you don't have that high commissions up front. You have ongoing fees that the advisor will be paid. But the upfront fees is not applicable at the investment RA. Mm. So it makes sense from a capital point of view and for the investor that whatever you save on upfront costs is money that stays in your investment to grow for retirement.
Mm. How do the two products or platforms, if I can call them, how do they differ?
It's mainly to do with the commission, as I say. Yeah. The underlying funds you probably can get on both platforms, you could use the same underlying funds, depending on who the insurer is or who the investment platform is, mm-hmm. where the RA is taken out. So besides the cost structure, it's very much the same. The other thing is that your annual reporting on an investment platform RA is generally much better than with an insurance company. With an insurance company RA, generally, you find that you have annual value. You'll get an annual letter from them stating what your capital value is, but no further explanation of what your annual growth was and things like that. So your reporting is just much more, for the investor, much more functional, because it tells you exactly what the growth has been from year to year.
Yeah, and the reason I'm asking that question is because as someone who's taking out RAs, would there be a distinction for me to make between the two? So if I'm looking at my products, would I be able to tell that this is issued on this platform and the impact thereof? Is there a way for me to see what those cost implications might be up front?
It is difficult. And from an advisor point of view, when we request that information in respect of the insurance RA, we need to request it from the insurance company. And that request is then sent on to their actuaries, who actually take a week or two to present you with a report. And that report, once you receive that report, you only know what the costs have been that's been involved in the product. Where with the investment platform RA, all the costs are very well explained in your reporting. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big advantages of the investment platform. It's all the costs are there for you to see. Mm-hmm. Where with the insurance company, you actually have to request the report, and the actuaries prepare the report, and you get it back a week or two later. So only then can you actually determine what the extent of the upfront commissions were.
Yeah, and this is something that's obviously then done after the fact, because my suspicion is that when someone's taking out an RA, they don't straight up off the bat ask you, so is this an investment or insurance platform? And that, of course, would land them at a disadvantage.
Correct, yeah, and that's just because people don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So the fact is that if you don't know that up front, you won't know what questions to ask. So it's behind the, if you after the fact have a look at that, you will find that those costs have already been incurred. So if you then stop your insurance RA and convert it to an investment platform RA, there are quite a lot of penalties that are involved, because how the insurance companies cost the product is they cost it over the lifetime of the product. So if you cash it in or transfer it to an investment platform earlier than your maturity date, there are quite heavy penalties that they charge. So you'll find that your fund value might be 100,000 and there's a penalty of a 15,000 or a 12,000, whatever the case may be, when you do transfer it. And that penalty is to recover the costs they've built into the product. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that up front. You'll only find that out when you issue an instruction to transfer the retirement annuity to another platform.
So as an individual who's planning for my retirement, I'm never going to win in this situation, really, because as you say, you don't know what you don't know. And should you then realize it's, you know, halfway through your retirement planning cycle, then there are those penalties that are, that are involved. What needs to be done to rectify that from get-go?
I think what's very important is to actually, from the outset, get good advice. And that's always, that's not always easy.
So surely from the advisor's side, there needs to be a bit more intent in disclosing what some of these costs
correct.
Are going to be.
From the phase requirements, the advisor should be informing the client of what the commission is on the product. And very often it's not done. So you enter into a product without actually knowing what the cost implications are. So that is from the advisor point, it's not not done properly. And also a point that you can as a client consider is to seek advice from a fee-based advisor, where the client, the advisor charges you an upfront fee, which is all transparent, and you know that that is what you're going to be paying. And it might be ongoing fees on the management of the investment, but at least you know that the advisor that's giving you the product is not being paid
biased towards
towards a commission-based product. Yes.
Yeah. Let's hit pause on the conversation for now. After the break, we do continue with that. Stay tuned. Welcome back to New Retirement Thinking. I'm Sameh Zaki. If you've just joined us, we're taking a look at ways that you can maximize your RA this tax season. I'm joined in the studio by Martin Dukalki, asset manager at Ascor Independent Wealth Managers. So, Martin, before the break, we were taking a look at some of the disclosures that we probably need to be including from get-go, from an advisor perspective. But I want to tackle it from another angle. If, as someone who's got an RA, I've now realized that there are these two platforms on which RAs are issued and the various cost implications, I want to rectify this for the remainder of my RA, at least when I'm investing in it. What steps must I be taking now?
I think what's very important is your growth on that RA is dependent on the underlying funds that the investment is being paid into. So when you actually review the investment, is to have a look at what the growth was for the underlying funds that you have selected on your product, and going forward, that those funds need to be followed on an annual basis. Again, don't make long-term decisions based on short-term movements in the underlying funds. Another alternative is to have a look at what the cost implications would be and the penalties if you did convert to an investment platform RA. Reasons for converting would be the annual reporting, so that you can actually see what your investment is doing in terms of internal rate of return, how much is your investment growing by. Again, that decision needs to be made once you know what the penalty is going to be, because that penalty could be quite punitive, and then it might not be sensible to actually make the transfer because you're taking too much of a penalty. The point there is then just at least select your underlying funds, that they are growth funds, that you get decent growth on that investment.
So Martin, I hear you where you say don't make long-term decisions on short-term information that's been given to you. So then I propose this argument. You're saying that we have to have annual reviews. This has been a particularly tough economic cycle at the moment. So one could possibly argue then that I shouldn't react to any of that news because I'm investing long-term. What do you say to that argument? Because I could simply say that, you know what, all these things are going to happen. I only need to check my RA the next 2-3 years.
Correct. You are correct. So I think the annual review is more to just actually be aware of your retirement situation and not necessarily to make decisions based on that. Again, I'm making the assumption that you have a strategy in terms of saving for retirement. why it's important to have a strategy, because your strategy is your plan to get to your destination. So you're not going to divert from your strategy unless there's been a substantial change and you need to actually amend your strategy. So it's just having a strategy and applying your strategy is just helping you to maintain the discipline to save for retirement.
Let's very quickly just expand a bit on the whole strategy aspect of things, because many people think that the strategy in terms of investing for your retirement is to have an RA. Is that a strategy?
Absolutely. The reason why the RA is a strategy, and I'm making the assumption a lot of people, especially people not working for corporates or for the government, don't have pension or provident funds. So their alternative is to have a retirement annuity, or for that matter, what it's called a personal retirement fund, or personal pension fund. And the reason for having the retirement annuity, firstly, is the tax break you get, because you get rewarded by SARS, or the receiver of revenue, from every contribution you make to the extent of your tax break, tax rate. So, for instance, if I'm contributing 1,000 Rand a month to the RA, my tax rate is 30%, SARS gives me back 30%, 300 Rand. And also, the other reason for having the retirement annuity, again, comes with discipline. You don't have access to those funds before retirement, so you're not going to be tempted to take your savings and build in, do renovations on your home or buy a new car. So it's forced savings, which, again, on the long term, is good for you as an individual, because you're saving for your retirement so that you don't have to be dependent on children or other family to survive during retirement.
Good place to leave. Thank you so much. And that's all we have time for today's installment of New Retirement Thinking from myself and the rest of the team. Goodbye.